The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander, live from Media Row at Super Bowl 58 on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course the DraftKings Network. As Brent just mentioned, live from Media Row, Mandalay Bay, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. What a scene here on DraftKings Network Super Week. Segment presented by 1-800-Flowers.com, DraftKings official flowers for Valentine's. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Over on the couch, Mr. Bidlin.
Yeah.
Chilling.
Might be getting real comfy over here today.
I'm totally getting to the couch earlier today. None of this hour up here at the desk on my throne looking down on you.
It is very much like that, by the way, yeah. I feel like I'm being talked down to right now.
It's the Colin Cowherd thing, right?
Right.
Here's my word.
I can't possibly be right in this dynamic. If we get in an argument, I'm wrong in this dynamic every time.
Take it down the mountain with you. On the show today, and it is our final regular numbers game time slot before Super Bowl 58. Rufus Peabody will join us again. He won't leave us alone. Rufus Peabody will be here on the show, as will Matt Brown in his typical Friday morning spot, as will James Salinas, former Westgate Super Contest winner. He will join us with his Super Bowl 58 thoughts, and Aaron Schatz will join us. Now, Aaron Schatz, who's not only the over at FTN Sports, but also the creator of DVOA, his proprietary stat, Aaron is an AP voter, famously, one of the 50 AP voters who voted on all the awards for the NFL Honors show last night. And we happened to be with him having dinner, you, me, Matt, and yep. Aaron, when the awards came down. Not all of them, but certainly the back end of them. And where he is specifically involved for our discussion today, among others, is Lamar Jackson ends up winning the MVP, let's start there, with 49 out of the possible 50 first place votes. The person who did not vote him first place, our friend Aaron Schatz. And when that news came down, not that Aaron in any way regrets his first place vote, which was Josh Allen, by the way.
Yep.
Josh Allen, he had Josh Allen first, Dak Prescott second, Lamar Jackson third. Not that he regrets it in any way, not he completely stands by it, but if you... It's just a human being thing. Lamar Jackson's first MVP, he was unanimous. This one, he falls one vote short. If you have to kind of live the rest of your life knowing that you are responsible for that, even though you are completely okay with your vote, there is a little part of you that dies inside. And so we lost Aaron for about 10 minutes of that dinner where he was just like, oh, man.
Yeah, I can't wait for him to tell it in his own words when he joins us. But it was, I think you just laid it out perfectly. He doesn't regret what he did, you know, the choices that he made. I think there's sound reasoning behind what he did. We talked about this often with him in the middle of the season, of when you get this influx of data-driven voters now that we haven't had before, they're going to see this markets like this a different way than the old school voters, and that was the reason guys like him were added, and they might look differently than others. So I don't think it's shocking to see that, but yes, when you're the only person, it becomes a little rough.
And you have to deal with Ravens fans who are going to be upset with, right? So it's a whole thing. So we'll have Aaron on later. We thought, stupidly as it turns out, that it was going to be a night without any drama. Well, there was plenty of it, beginning with Coach of the Year, where Kevin Stefanski and D'Amico Ryan, Stefanski of the Browns, and by the way, the Browns end up with four awards, three of which were bettable. Coach of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, where Myles Garrett won it. Obviously, they end up winning Assistant Coach of the Year, not something that was not bettable. Jim Schwartz ended up winning for Defensive Coordinator of the Year. And of course, we'll get to momentarily in Comeback Player of the Year. But when it started with Coach of the Year, Stefanski and D'Amico Ryans of the Texans end up with the same number when you tallied up the 5-4-3-2-1, 1-2-3-4-5 voting. But Stefanski with one more first place vote, and he wins the award. So everybody who had Kevin Stefanski bets, congratulations to you. on that. You cash at whatever price, whatever great price you had that at. So by virtue of the first place vote tiebreaker, Stefanski wins that. And then we thought, okay, well, that will be the big story of the night. Wow, somebody won with a tiebreaker. Nope.
Well,
go ahead.
You okay with that? But we didn't really, I guess we were all at dinner. We didn't talk through this thoroughly.
By the way, I should say with Coach of the Year, it's not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's 1, 2, 3.
Right.
MVP is the only thing that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, so 21-18-6 for Stefanski for a total of 165 points. 20-21-2 for D'Amico ends up at 165 as well, but the 21-20 first place gives it to Stefanski. I'm okay with it. If you're going to do 1, 2, 3 or any kind of tiered voting, you're doing tiered voting for a reason.
I'm very much okay with how this played out. I would have gone with D'Amico Ryans,
me
but
too.
Completely understand Stefanski winning. And as long as it was close, I can see it was close, I'm good with it.
So we thought the drama was that. Like, that was going to be the big thing. Because, you know, defensive rookie of the year, okay. Will Anderson won it by, you know, a shade. We get it. That was possible. That was a very close vote, by the way, between the top three. Anderson, Jalen Carter, and, of course, Kobe Turner. The others, you know, Miles Garrett, who was at the restaurant with us last night, he ends up winning Defensive Player of the Year. You know, that was close, but people expected that to be close. But then Comeback Player of the Year, we had kind of convinced ourselves, anecdotally, sure, but that DeMar Hamlin was going to get it. The one thing that Aaron Schatz got right, and we repeated it a million times on this show, though we said it, I'm not sure if we said it with comeback, we certainly said it with MVP, which is, you know, this could be a year because of the tiered voting where someone's not going to get the most first place votes. They're going to get the most second place, and they're going to win the award. Could have happened with Coach of the Year. Didn't. With Comeback Player of the Year, the shocker of the night, Joe Flacco with 13 first place votes, 13, 26, and 8. So 13 first place, 26 second place, 8 third place votes. Beats DeMar Hamlin, who had 8 more first-place votes than did Flacco with 21,
ugh,
but it went 21-7-14. So shout-out to Aaron Schatz for properly identifying this scenario. But to be completely accurate, and we'll talk to Aaron about this later, too, is in this award, Comeback Player of the Year, Aaron's thought was, okay, if you're not going to vote Hamlin first, he's probably completely off your ballot.
He told this this to us like 2 months ago, three
yes.
months ago, something
yes.
like that.
And that was very logical to me because
me too.
In how you sort of do the calculus on this vote, you know, because you and I, let's just go the trajectory of you and me talking about
right,
this.
Yeah, yeah.
So over a year ago, was it over? No, not
like
over a year
ago.
No,
yeah,
but
yeah,
like yes,
10 months ago.
10 months ago, I'm screaming at you on air. He almost died on the field. All he has to do is show up. You then
set the Kelly barometer.
The Kelly barometer
is
like,
he has to get back out there, and he needs to end up in the stat book, right?
Okay.
He needs to make a tackle, do something.
And then he does exactly that, tackle.
That's right, and I said give it to him.
And you said give it to him.
Yeah.
And then you convinced yourself further then, and you took a little incoming for this, that if it's not Hamlin, you'd give it to Baker Mayfield over Joe Flacco.
Well, it was when the Joe Flacco stuff started up.
Yeah.
I was, and I'm still in shock. I am in the guy who should have finished third in this won it to me. Joe Flacco with Comeback Player of the Year. Because, yes, it was, we're giving so much credit to Joe Flacco for what he did in 5 games of the regular season when Baker Mayfield did this the whole season when nobody expected anything from Baker Mayfield or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
By the way, Baker Mayfield is the dude I cannot stop running into all over town.
Are you serious?
He's everywhere. Yeah. He's everywhere.
I want to run into Baker Mayfield and tell him exactly what I just said.
I will tell him. I know this guy, kill him.
And then buy him like a Miller Lite. I feel like that's his beer.
Here's the thing with all of this, though. So, and we'll talk more extensively about this after we talk about Super Bowl 58 later in the show when Schatz gets here. I think we have reached the point now where even the NFL gets, they've got to redefine that award. So right now, let's compare this with the NBA award of Most Improved. Most
yeah.
Improved has some interpretation, but okay, it's at least in a tighter little context. With Comeback Player of the Year, as it's stated in the NFL, that is such a catch-all that ultimately comes down to your interpretation of best story of the year. And so there is some movement now to redefine this award and maybe parse it out into a couple awards. We'll talk to Aaron because I'm not sure exactly what they've landed on, but there seems to be some momentum for that. And so Joe Flacco, congratulations to those of you who had Stefanski. Even bigger congratulations to those of you who had Flacco. And by the way, a lot of people were giving us, you know, certainly we deserved credit for the scenario where if you had the most second place votes, someone could sneak into one. People were giving us credit for the Flacco thing. I don't know that we talked about it any more than anybody else.
Yeah.
Congratulations to all of you who had it.
I mean, you and I talk a lot of awards. It's not like this was, we were definitely talking about him as he was on the rise in the awards. But you and I were sitting at dinner last night kind of cracking up. I'm rolling through all these tweets we're getting. I'm like, all right, here's a tweet hating on me. Here's a tweet giving us a lot of praise. Here's a tweet. I'm like, I don't even know where these are coming from.
The thing with the Flaccos, though, the Flacco award winners, those are triple-digit ones.
Yes.
Like, we are in our you know, feeds. There's 100 to ones. There's 150 to ones. So good on all of y'all who got that. I did not see that coming in the end. And we'll talk also about the fact that in Hamlin's case, there were, in fact, people who had him second or third, which makes no sense. No sense whatsoever. Like, well, I get it. He kind of died. So that's kind of good compared to what Flacco did.
Toss out this award. It's ridiculous. You need to redo it. You need to. All these voters need to be clearly. They need to know clearly what they actually are voting on. And that's just not. We saw it play out.
We'll have that discussion later. But first, Super Bowl 58. Chiefs and Niners. Matt Brown will join us. And I, after 2 weeks of giving all the reasons for both sides, I've made my decision. And this segment is presented by DiGiorno. It's not delivery, it's DiGiorno. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. It is a numbers game live from Media Row, DraftKings Network's Super Week here. By the way, I haven't read any tweets since we've been down here. Should I read some tweets?
Sure. Rifle through some.
This is from CW Blue Jay, who says, this is a commentary on the Megapod with Rufus. He sums it up by saying, sun versus moon. Gil says, the sun gets a big check mark for hottest celestial object. Rufus replies, you really think so? I don't see that. Last year, the sun wasn't as hot. Maybe it's a small check mark. That was kind of how he did. Like, argument for the sake of argument for Rufus. He'll be with us a little later on. The better life. The way they introduced Comeback Player of the Year, Tim Lawson says, the way they introduced Comeback Player of the Year as performing on the highest level and returning to that level sounded like they were explaining why Hamlin was about to not get the award. It's a good call. We didn't hear that, but yeah. By the way, was it even available in Vegas? I don't think it was. I think it got blacked out here.
What, Comeback Player of the Year?
No, the whole show.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Yeah, we were all out dinner. I had no idea. No way. It was blacked out
for
here?
For local, I think so. Yeah, absolutely. So much, by the way, there's too many tweets to read. I'll read some later. But about the appearance from Merrill Hodge yesterday on the show, which was just absolutely spectacular. So shout out to Merrill Hodge, who had some very strong opinions on, of course, not only Caleb Williams, but really retrospectively on C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young, which he got dead on last year. We are joined by our old primetime action co-host, and of course, well, not only that, but our Friday regular here on A Numbers Game all football season, the great Matt Brown, everybody, host of the All Angles Football Podcast, football betting podcast.
Yes.
And the handle, rather, weekends here with Mike Somich. How you doing, man?
Doing well. I'm looking. I haven't done the leg cross yet. I see you guys with the leg cross. Maybe that's like next segment or something. I'll get in with that.
You got to mix it in. We're here for an hour and a half.
The casual setting allows you guys got used to it yesterday. So you went right to the leg cross where I'm kind of all doing the like, oh, okay. All right. How am I going to do that? Next segment.
Okay. Plus, you're the guy who gets middled right here, right? So we can just kind of sit back and look at you like this the whole time. Yeah. Yep.
Man, it was a fine dinner last night with you fellas.
It was.
Yes.
It was
good stuff over there. Celebrity sightings abound.
Abound.
Yes.
Yeah, abound.
All
Dustin
over the place.
Dustin Sweetelson among them.
That was the biggest one.
That was the biggest one.
The biggest one. The most unexpected one, for sure, as we're like sitting there just like, oh, look
sure,
at that.
Sure, you had your Miles Garrett's and your Jake Glazers, but there was Dustin Sweetelson.
Yeah, just coming in, just rolling in. We're like,
from
oh,
Sharp
look at
Money
that.
Here at Visa.
Happy
birthday, Dustin.
He did come over to tell us the most popular country singer in the world and was at a table two over from us. We didn't even know.
The three of us did not know.
But Zach Bryan.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
I know the name, but yeah.
I don't do the country music, so like, yeah, no. I don't know either.
All right. Yeah. Super Bowl 58. I don't know if you know this, Matt, but mm-hmm. there is a game on Sunday. Are you aware of this?
A big one.
Niners Chiefs, 3:30 p.m. Pacific, 6:30 Eastern, where the Niners remain at this moment, Friday morning, 2-point favorites. The total still not budging, 47.5. First of all, do you think either of these will budge between now and game time?
Man, that is the thing that I continue to go back and forth about because, you know, in years past, right, like you just knew it was favorites and overs. Like it was just, you know, everyone wanted to come in on the favorite. You knew that the dog money line was going to get pounded, so then you would end up getting money line value on the favorite somewhere along the way and all that. But it's, I don't know, with like the 30-plus states now, like I said, this total goes from 48 to 47.5 and has been stuck in the mud for a week and a half now. Like, I don't know. Maybe it ticks back to 48, but it seems like there's a willingness of people to take the under at 48, so I don't know how long it lasts when it does hit that.
What have you finally decided on this?
I played the Chiefs. I got more prop action, really, than I do the stuff on the game itself. I ended up playing the Chiefs, but it's one of those deals where the handicap for me, I can see a double-digit win for the 49ers. So it's like it's a weird thing to have a bet in on a team that you don't think can win by double digits, and you can easily talk yourself into the team that you didn't winning by double digits.
Because that is the follow-up that I've asked everybody, not everybody, but most people who have had the Chiefs these last 2 weeks. My next question, I asked Zach, I asked Kelly, maybe not everybody.
My favorite piece of conversation about this game, I think.
Yeah, so if you have the Chiefs, I'm like, yeah, but if I told you a team won by double digits, who is it? Everybody without even blinking goes Niners.
Yeah, because you have those. Here's the thing. I think if you're a Chiefs backer, you're probably naturally leaning towards the under. You're probably thinking, okay, the way that they go about this, we've seen them with these long methodical drives, putting together like the 6 and 7 minute drives and all that. Like, I don't think you want a shootout if you're on the Chiefs. I don't think that the offensive firepower for the Chiefs is going to be able to sustain a firefight with the 49ers. And so, like you said, the way this gets off the rails pretty quick is if this defense for the Chiefs that has been very, very good all year and has been good in the playoffs can't figure out a way to stop this ridiculous wealth of talent that the 49ers has, and then they're just scoring every time they get the ball, and the Chiefs are just not able to keep up. And then next thing you know, we look up and it's the third quarter, and like I said, they're up 11, they're up 14, they're up 70, whatever it might be.
So again, for 2 weeks now, by the way, where's my camera? I have no idea where it is. For 2 weeks now, I have said, you know, okay, here are the two ways to look at this game, and I'll say it one last time here beforehand, but I sort of, I'll couch it like this. Again, it's the Jimmy the Greek T-chart where all the check marks, most of them except one, go to the Chiefs. Coach, quarterback, tight end, defense, schedule, kicker, and the only one that goes to the Niners is this massive offense as a group, right? They have the massive check on that. That's one way to look at it. And I don't know, 75% of the people here anecdotally here at Media Row, when we have them on the show, when we talk to them, they are not necessarily bettors. And they subscribe to that as, I've watched the playoffs. Clearly the Chiefs have been better and the Niners have barely gotten over these two teams. Okay, that's one god at, you know, one shrine at which people worship. The other one is, you know, Christmas Day, the day that both the Chiefs got crushed by the Raiders and the Niners got crushed by the Ravens, the Niners still would have been at worst a 5-point favorite on a neutral that day. We've talked about this for 2 weeks. That's the other shrine to, you know, that's the other, the construct that you can view this game within. And that's the god that I worship in the end, right? It's the larger sample size. That's what I believe in. And I do believe that, you know, simply if they say, like, if they have one defensive series and Chase Young is doing dumb things, sorry, but it's kind of Chase Young. Yeah. And when Washington got rid of him, I sort of said, I go, Sweat's the better player. People couldn't believe that, like all my San Francisco friends. And that played out. I think, like, he'll be off the field so quick. I think the Niners, and maybe it won't even take that, I think the Niners' defense ability to revert to what they were during the regular season, as opposed to whatever this version is we've seen them in the postseason, I think that's a real possibility. And if that happens, and Mahomes has got to chase that team, Yeah, I think the Niners win it.
Yeah, and that's kind of the other part of the handicap, too, is if the run game, I think, for me, if Pacheco doesn't have success in this thing, then it could be a pretty bad day. Yeah. Because, again, it's the – this team is just not really built to, one, play from behind, and it's certainly not built to have to go to completely nothing but passing, right? Because now if you're relying – your de facto wide receiver one at this point is a rookie, which Rashee Rice has been fine. Like, he's been good for them, but, again – that's you, now it's relying on a rookie. It's relying on Marcus Valdez-Scantling. It's relying on trying to then at that point, if they know that you're passing every single down, you have to assume extra attention gets
right,
made to Kelsey.
Lock in on Kelsey.
And so it's just so it becomes this whole everything gets out of whack, you know, at that point. And I think the other thing that is interesting to me, and I'm sitting here telling you I'm on the Chiefs talking about why I think the 49ers or whatever, but the other thing is like if the 49ers do find themselves down in this game, they are much more equipped to come from behind than the Chiefs are, right? I mean, like, the splash plays left and right that these guys had all season long. I mean, there was a game.
while saying that they don't want to, obviously, because it's still Mahomes, but yes, they're much more equipped.
Yeah, I mean, there's a game this year in which Brock Purdy threw for 368 yards, and he threw for 368 yards on 19 completions.
Amazing.
19 completions, 368 yards. He had 54, 45, 44, 230s, a 27, 225s, and a 24-yard reception in that game alone.
Yeah, what is that, 18 yards, 19 yards per completion or something?
So it's just you look at that and you're just like, this is – That is why this team can come back.
Yeah.
And if you're sitting there and you're holding a 49er money line ticket or even a -2, whatever it might be, and you're down 10 in the fourth quarter, I don't think you're like completely dejected and like tearing that ticket up and going and heading to the bar until like 3 minutes left in the game. You know, I think that's like when you can start to really, really panic. But if I'm down 10 heading in the fourth quarter holding a 49ers ticket, like I'm not really that worried about it.
Would you, considering you have Chiefs, I have Chiefs, if that situation played out, would you be grabbing any piece of 49ers in game?
Or it would be interesting to see what the number would be, for sure.
Yeah, let's kind of, as you're talking about this,
it would be interesting to see what the number would be. As good as they are at defending the perimeter, I mean, like, they can be had over the middle. You have Debo that can run those drag routes. You have Kittle over the middle. You can start Kittle over the middle. Look at that. Kittle over the middle.
Look what you did.
Look what I did.
I'm riding with my final exacta, the Niners over the Chiefs at 11-1. I'm riding with those MVP plays on not only Christian McCaffrey, but also Debo and Kittle. And if I didn't have any of those, I probably would have a small bet on the Niners, and that's it, probably. We're coming back. More Matt Brown with all his prop bets next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the sports betting network from Media. VSiN Super Bowl betting guide is out now to help you bet on the big game. This year's guide features in-depth team breakdowns, Steve Mackinnon's Super Bowl simulation with player projections, plus favorite prop bets, picks, and best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, including how legendary sports broadcaster Brent Musburger is betting the game. To get the guide and all that VSiN has to offer, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today at VSiN.com/pro. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. Media Row, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Chris Hartman, Gil, isn't Rodgers the odds-on favorite for comeback player of the year next year? He fits the playing for the Jets narrative. I think he kind of is.
Yeah, probably.
If, by the way...
Wait, what is he open? What is he open?
Oh, he's the short shot for sure. By the way, Dr. David Chow was walking by, and he wanted to get on the show. And I wanted, the first thing I was going to say to him was, hey, you think Rodgers come back from the Achilles if the Jets sneak in? I thought that was inappropriate of me. Wilmo_bets. Why can't the MVP vote be submitted digitally from a cell phone? Give the voters 5 minutes after the game ends to submit their vote. This three-quarter award is terrible. Yeah, it is kind of sucky. And Wadzilla, thank you for the great intel as always. Woke up to this nice surprise. He has Flacco. He had 25-1, but still. Will help with the cost of therapy after finding out I share the same birthday as Toddy and Rufus. I hear you, man. That just means you're super-duper smart. Good for you. Aaron Schott's still to come on the show, but we are graced with the presence of...
Wow.
Oh, you don't like that intro?
I appreciate it. Well, very kind.
Now you broke the
flow. Sorry. Hello.
Stormy Bonatoni, everybody,
hey!
From the Lombardi Line. How are you?
I'm great. I appreciate you guys letting me step on. I didn't realize that you had come off of your perch and come down to the couch area.
It feels a little throny, doesn't it? Like it's like the Colin Coward thing where like he's looking down from the mountaintop
when
he's talking.
I could see that. I could see that. This is definitely more comfortable, though. Sprawl out a little bit.
Get any ideas. All right.
All right. Jeez Louise.
This show's thing. All right?
Sorry. This is a good nap area, though, for maybe later when we're all tired after the long day.
There is a, this is going to be old school footage, but like Marvin, do you know what's going on, Marvin Gaye? There's video footage of him lying on a couch like this, singing What's Going On in perfect pitch. I think we should do that at the end.
Okay.
Like just perfect.
Are you a singer?
No, ma'am. I am not.
I mean, you do have like a really nice, obviously a nice radio voice.
Thank
so
you.
I can see that.
This is, I don't sound like this at all, Stormy. This is just my radio voice.
He
I don't sound like this
in real
life.
He did sing on the air the other day, though. He did sing, because Gil always makes music references. I don't get it all. And I'm like, I need you to sing like the first, like the chorus.
Oh, all the Usher songs
you're talking about.
Do you have any, are you an Usher fan by any chance?
I mean, to an extent. He's got a lot of bangers, obviously. So
bangers.
I know the hits.
Do you have a sense of what the first song is? Because we have sort of decided that My Way is going to be the first.
Well, that's what he opens his set in town with, right?
Yes.
So I think that would make sense. I personally would have liked the OMG opening. Like,
I thought that's what it was
going to
be.
I think that would have sounded nice.
Nope.
One and done. We're cut off. We're cut off.
See, I know what she's talking about.
Thank you. That's all that matters.
Okay. The real reason we have you on is because aren't you like super duper Niners fan?
Yes.
Did you grow up in the Bay?
No, I born and raised in Las Vegas, so obviously we didn't have a team.
Right.
And my dad was a huge Joe Montana everything, so I'm another one of those people that loves Notre Dame football and that loves the 49ers. So.
Let me ask you a question. Has your dad ever caught a pass from Joe Montana or taken a picture with Joe Montana?
Pictures, yes.
Oh, because we did that yesterday.
Oh, really? So maybe not that funny of a story, but we were doing Lombardi Line here on the
good
desk.
Good way to preface it.
He was over, Montana was over there with Gojo and Golic on that set, and the number of times I made very uncomfortable eye contact with this man because I love him. You know, he's been an idol, even though I didn't get to watch him play. I've seen so many NFL films and highlights, and we have like signed jerseys and stuff. And he's just like somebody that's huge in my life and my family's life.
Yeah.
And I wasn't looking away either. Every time it happened, I was like, I'm holding on to this.
Did you call him Mr. Montana when you talked to him? Did you,
Montana, sir? Mr. Cool?
Mr. Montana.
Mr. Cool.
The Niners fans that were there yesterday, they almost were like falling to the floor.
I'm
like,
sure.
It's that kind of reaction.
Well, and then like Michael, obviously Lombardi, is so cool and knows him and stuff. He's like, oh yeah, I got to make sure I go say hi.
go say hi. Smoking Joe Montana over here. So are you all in? Have you made bets on the Niners? Are you backing up your love with money?
So I, over like the last handful of years, just do one of those preseason bets on my team so that you have one in case they get there and you can feel good about it. So I have it from that standpoint. A little 5-1 future action
nice.
On the 49ers.
What's wrong with that?
And then I did that same game teaser situation here.
Yeah.
Where you bring the Chiefs up and under 54.5. So I did a 7-point, but just a number I felt more comfortable with and feels like a little bit of a hedge.
Do you truly believe in your, like, take off your fan hat, take off the bet that you have. Like, do you believe they're actually going to do this? Where do you really believe?
I certainly think that they could. Like, I view this as more of a coin flip game than the 2-point spread would indicate, right? Like, I think that it could really be anybody's game. It just depends on what you value more, whether it's the current form or the larger sample size. And I know with my fan hat on, I have a lot of anxiety about it because it's the Chiefs and they're playing really well right now after this felt like it was the season that they were going to be vulnerable. Meanwhile, the 49ers had so many games that they were dominant. And if this game was played maybe 5 weeks ago, who knows what the spread would be. But it's different right now, and the Chiefs are on, and they have all the experience in the world in the biggest game, and that gives me some concern. But I also feel confident in the 49ers offense, and so if the defense can play like they did before Christmas, come together.
Come on, defense.
So there's a world where I think that they win, and it's the best day of my life.
Are there Chiefs fans walking around here that claim Joe Montana?
Oh, you know, so that's funny you say that, because when we were with him yesterday, someone did say, you know, he played for the Chiefs also.
Yeah. I mean, I guess when you have Mahomes, you just claim Mahomes. But, I mean, like,
right.
you could. You could.
He did play.
Well, it does have to be kind of cool for him, though, to have this be the Super Bowl again, that he gets both sides.
Though I don't feel like, you know, in a world where folks are identifying, I don't feel like he identifies as a Chief.
But I do love, like, the story that he shared about going to Kansas City, that he was like, I'm not going to stay here in San Francisco and be the backup. Like, what are you talking about? And it's weird to think that Joe Montana got forced out of, his situation.
He had big wins in Kansas City, too. Yeah. Like, it wasn't like he just sort of.
Yeah. I'll put it. I've not seen any Montana Chief jerseys.
I do enjoy the idea of him at a Niners party, though, or something. And it's like he did play for the other team too. Like it is a little odd.
I don't know if you have thoughts on this, but obviously the awards were given out last night too. And we're going to talk to Aaron Schatz here momentarily, who's standing on deck. He was the one guy who didn't vote Lamar first place for MVP. But famously came on our show and said when it came to comeback player of the year, he's like, hey, you know. If you don't have Damar Hamlin first, you probably don't have him on the ballot. And while that wasn't exactly true, the sentiment was where Damar did have the most first place but didn't win it.
Mm-hmm.
Was it your sense, like just for, because I have not talked to you about this or anything, Stormy, but this specifically. Well, no, because
we know that we're huggers, though, when we do see each other in the limited time.
That's right. Do you feel like it's nuts that Damar Hamlin did not win it, or do you side with the, well, no, because he didn't do it on the football field?
I was one of those people that throughout the course of the season was continuing to try to make arguments for other people because I understood where like the Peter Kings of the world and a lot of other folks said, if he takes a snap and he is out there on the football field after having died on a football field, he should win the award. I understand that completely. And you think back to the Alex Smith argument when he nearly died with the crazy leg situation that he had. But he went on to not only play a snap, but to play meaningful football and meaningful games at the most important position.
Yes.
With him, Hamlin, when you're primarily a special teamer and you only played a handful of games, you only played a handful of snaps in those games, it's hard for me to say you should win when you see some of the other things that other people had done. And I love that Joe Flacco won. To be like, that team had to use five quarterbacks and they still made the playoff. It's just remarkable.
Do you agree with
from his couch? From a couch just like this, perhaps.
Throwing to his brother.
We got a tweet, which I think is an interesting take on it, which is because we started the show by saying the Browns won four awards. Not only did they win
the
comeback player, they won defensive player of the year, they won coach of the year, they also won assistant coach of the year. Four awards.
That defense was tremendous.
Does that mean they're the most underachieving team of all time, someone said?
Well, I mean, look at how much people thought that they were for sure going to win that opening round game in the playoffs. So I wouldn't call them the most underachieving team in the world by any means because you win coach of the year because your team overachieved given your circumstance in my brain, right?
Yeah.
And then assistant coach of the year, I think Jim Schwartz makes a ton of sense when you lead that defense to the heights that they did from a unit that was kind of like subpar to being the best by far. Like there's a lot of things I think that work for that. But Flacco, I talked to Flacco last night because I for DraftKings went down and did some of the red carpet stuff and I asked him, I was
humble
like,
brag.
Well,
yeah. Look at that. Let me just toss in there that I went somewhere that you guys didn't.
Okay. All right.
She's like, I actually was there, and I asked, and I heard y'all were not invited.
No. So red carpet, that was my first time I've ever actually done a red carpet thing. It is very congested.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like, I'm surprised anyone even stopped for us because there's just hundreds of people in this line, and you just have to hope that someone will stop for you. But Flacco was one that did, and he was just talking about kind of the whirlwind of what the last couple of months have been like, and he said, you know, that time on the couch, it was interesting. I ate a lot of flavored popcorn, but, you know, I'd say this red carpet and being at NFL Honors is a little bit better.
Hey, before you go, do you regret almost killing Matt Brown when you guys did that show together when he had the potato chip? Or not the potato, but the other kind of chip, the hot one?
That was the most entertaining thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Did you know you could have killed me.
What if he had died, Stormy?
Listen,
dead.
You're not supposed to eat like five of them, and you didn't even eat a full half of the chip.
Oh, yes, I did. I ate the whole thing.
Did you eat the whole thing?
Yeah, and I died.
Y'all left me. I just remember it was the one that turned your tongue blue, and I was like, this guy's dying and his tongue's blue and feels so sad. You are a trooper, though, for that.
I sense no sympathy whatsoever. Thank you, Stormy.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it. Aaron Schatz next. Numbers Game. VSiN, the sports betting.
This is a Numbers Game with Gil Alexander. Live from Media Row at Super Bowl 58 on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, this is the offer you got to know about. There has never been a better time to have skin in the game with DraftKings Sportsbook, because right now we have a VSiN exclusive offer for new DraftKings customers. This is really, really good. Earn a $500 bonus for every $1,000 you bet, up to $2,500. I will repeat that. Earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you bet, up to $2,500. Quick math, that's up to $1,250 in bonus bets. Don't wait. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, but you have to use the code VSIN when you sign up, VSIN when you sign up, and earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you bet now. If we could do that, we would do that in a heartbeat.
This is the type of stuff that I flew to Jersey to do, like in the early days of when the sportsbooks were like just, you know, getting going, the rest of the country. Yeah, this is the stuff I would literally get on an airplane to go do.
I mean, Bill Krakenberger.
You can do it from your couch.
Right, yeah, yeah. Bill Krakenberger almost fell off this couch yesterday when he heard this promo rant. I mean, it is, it's as good as it gets. It's as good as we've ever been able to offer.
That's
it's
right.
Incredible.
And Crack loves himself a promo, and he knows the good ones from the
exactly.
bad. That's for sure.
All right.
He is joining us now. Had dinner with him last night while the awards were being given out, as we mentioned earlier on the show. He is from FTN, FTN Sports. He is the creator of DVOA. He is our buddy Aaron Schatz, and he joins us now. How you doing, man?
It's been an interesting morning.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's just set the stage. let's start with MVP, Lamar Jackson. When he won his first MVP, he was unanimous.
Yes.
Last night.
I did not have a vote then.
You did not.
But I would have voted him number one in 2019, yes.
Okay. And so yesterday, we learned that he had 49 of the 50 first-place votes, and you, sir, were the one who did not vote him first place.
Yep. It's me. I'm the problem. It's me.
That's not what I mean. You stand by your...
No, I do stand by my choice, absolutely.
Which was?
It was Josh Allen, which was very tough. I mean, first of all, it was tough to not pick Lamar number one. And then once I made the decision that that was the way I was going to go, it was very hard to pick between Josh Allen and Dak Prescott.
And Dak was your number two.
Dak was my number two.
Lamar three.
Yes.
Okay. And you even, when we were talking about this, so this happened while we were at dinner last night. And while you stand by the vote, and you even said, like, this is why they have me voting, like, for a different perspective. It did jar you a little bit because you never want to be the only one, right?
Yes, I did not do this thinking I was the only one. And in particular, when the All-Pro votes came out and five of us had not put Lamar Jackson on our first team, I thought, I'm saved. I thought when the MVP comes out, the two people who voted for Dak will vote for Dak for MVP. The two people who voted for Purdy will vote for Purdy for MVP. Maybe somebody votes for McCaffrey for MVP. I'm not the only one. We're okay.
Okay.
So last night when it came out, the people who put Dak Prescott and Brock Purdy as first team quarterback then did not put those players for MVP, I was very surprised.
Yeah. So... we lost you for about 5 minutes last night during dinner. We're like, Aaron's doing his own thing right now. You're still at the table, but you weren't really present because you were sort of soaking this all in. And the impact, have you received backlash for this?
Yes. I mean, first of all, I will say there have been some positive, a lot from the analytics community, you know, really positive stuff. There's been a lot of backlash, very negative, homophobic comments, lots of really mean DMs.
Oh, my gosh.
I've had to report a couple people. It was so bad that I felt like I needed to report them. But also a couple people were like, I'm from Baltimore, but I read your argument, and I understand. For those
that's
who don't
nice.
Know,
that's
at
nice.
FTNFantasy.com/DVOA, which is my page, I have an article about my award winners, which refers back to a previous article about my All-Pro team, which gives a very long explanation of my thought process. Basically, I mean, I looked at a number of different statistics, not just my own, but SIS and PFF and ESPN's QBR and EPA, and no matter what you looked at, Prescott and Allen had better seasons than Jackson this year.
Stephen A. went after you a little this
Stephen
morning.
Stephen A. Smith went after me this morning, not knowing it was me. He didn't know who it was.
Right.
He said something about it must be somebody who wants to make sure Josh Allen will still talk to them in the locker room, which is strange because I'm not in the locker rooms. That's not my gig. And,
right.
And it's nothing about Josh Allen per se. Like I said, I seriously considered going with Dak Prescott as well. In the end, Dak Prescott played the easiest schedule of any quarterback this year, and that's part of why his statistics were so good, and that's why I put him second and not first.
What do you think when this, you know, like as the days go on and the weeks go on, this the heat of it will blow over. what is the thing that bothers you the most, that for the end of time your vote will have cost him a unanimous?
Yeah, the people will talk about that.
Yeah.
And
do you worry that Lamar himself will say something to you?
You know, it's funny. We talked about that last night as a possibility, and I was a little worried about it, but the fact that it hasn't happened yet, I thought if it's going to happen, he'll be at like an after party after the honors and he'll tweet or something.
Yeah.
Since it hasn't happened yet, I don't think that will happen. And, you know, if the time comes that I sit and meet Lamar Jackson, I will explain to him, you know, I will happily explain to him my vote and that I had him third, and the third best quarterback in the NFL is not a bad place to be.
Right. It's when I say Belichick is still on my Mount Rushmore, I just don't have him number one. I get the same sort of thing where I'm like, it doesn't mean I think he's middle of the road.
Right. I will say, look, the one thing that hurts are the accusations of racism.
Have you gotten those?
Which I have, and I could have avoided that by putting Dak Prescott number one. Theoretically, I would think Dak Prescott number one would avoid those accusations.
But obviously that's not what's at play here.
But that's not what's at play here at all.
Oh, I mean, that's sucky.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I could play like, look at my other votes. Look at how I didn't vote for T.J. Watt and I didn't vote for Christian McCaffrey. But, I mean, it really is about performance on the field and numbers. And both of those things, by the way. I mean, people talk about the unquantifiable things that Lamar Jackson does and the eye test. But the fact is, if you watched Dak Prescott and Josh Allen this year, they also did unquantifiable things and passed the eye test in a way that I don't think Brock Purdy did.
I'm so sorry that you're even having to endure any of that, Aaron. I really am.
That's the tough accusation, is that that's, you know, other stuff is, you know, people calling me names is whatever. That's just Twitter.
But like you said, I think one of the things here, Gil, too, is to point out in all of this is that your decision was based off of just, I mean, your own system, DVOA, did not have Lamar Jackson as the best quarterback in the NFL. You go to Pro Football Focus, like you said, which you also took into account, did not have him as the number one, had Josh Allen as the number one quarterback.
Right.
Overall graded, if you just parse it out by just like passing grade, which we know Lamar brings more to the table than that, but I mean, he was down at the, you know, 10th in the passing grades over the course of the season for PFF. So, I mean, again, it wasn't like you said, it wasn't just an eye test thing. You looked and the numbers and stuff that you, the work that you do, the work that you rely from other guys that you consider to be smart as well, is what actually played into
it. If it was just my stats, but other people who did advanced stats had things differently, I would have definitely reconsidered. Because I'm not like, oh, everything I do is right.
Right.
But it was like everybody's advanced stats all had the same outcome. The order was different, but the outcome was the same, which is that Jackson was third or lower in pretty much everything.
Let's leave that. Let's segue to comeback player of the year, which you were very prescient about the whole, you know, now that we have tier voting, that we could have an instance that a person that didn't get the most first place votes in any category, you know, might end up not winning, or a person that didn't end up with most first place votes could win, I should say.
Yeah.
And it ended up happening in the comeback player of the year. What we found shocking is that your very interesting comment about if DeMar is not number one, he's off the ballot entirely. That didn't happen. Some people actually did vote him second.
I don't understand that at all. If either you're going for the best comeback, in which case this is the best comeback, or you're going for the best player, in which case Hamlin should not be on your ballot at all. I don't understand putting him second or third.
You were saying to us, to the extent that you're willing to share, that this award description might change?
There may be, well, right now there is no description. There may be a description next year that will help guide us in what we're voting for.
They won't add an award, but they'll just make this more defined.
They'll make this more defined, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You have to keep that in mind if you're betting on this award every year.
Yes. That it could be a story. It could actually be a performance. I mean,
because right now it's just a catch-all story.
Exactly.
Right now it's a catch-all where it could be someone who just improved a lot, but it could be someone coming back from injury. Or
and there's
could
no
be
minimum,
someone,
obviously, because Flacco played six games.
Someone coming off their couch like Flacco. I mean, he came back from – he didn't retire, but he basically came back from being retired, right? It could be a lot of different things.
Kelly and I just stopped talking about it at one point because we're like, what are we talking about?
Right,
we don't even know what we're talking about. All right, last thing. I don't know if you know this. Super Bowl 58 is on Sunday.
Yeah.
Who's winning this football game?
It's so interesting that the odds makers who think more like analytics people like me have San Francisco favored by 2. But if you go through this room and you ask everybody who will win, 80% of these people will tell you the Chiefs.
Yes.
I'm trying to go with the analytics here and feel the 49ers. I'm feeling the 49ers a little bit because their offense has been so efficient this year. that even if the Chiefs are back to as good as the Chiefs have been in the past, that's not as good as what the 49ers were this year. But I certainly will not be surprised if it goes the other way.
Aaron, thank you so much for showing up and being stand-up about it. You always got it. We always got your back here.
Thanks, man. FTNFantasy.com/DVOA.
My man. All right. Kelly and I will be back at this time slot, of course, Monday after the game. We'll also be here on VSiN Sunday, run-up to the Super Bowl itself. We will talk to you then. Thank you, Mateo.
Absolutely.
Also as well, Matt Brown, everybody. Good luck with Super Bowl 58. We'll talk to you right before that at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.